You sure you're ready?
I'm ready. I'm caffeinated. I'm ready.
I'm not caffeinated, but we're going to talk about it because it's a topic that fires me up anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Whatever it is.
We have gotten a request.
Oh.
Yes. We have got a topic request that we're going to go through today. And somebody in Facebook wanted us to elaborate on gyms that thrive off non-usage of not going to the gym. And I thought, what better day than January 14th, Quitter's Day itself. If you guys don't know what Quitter's Day is, it's 2 weeks into the new year where everybody quits. They quit their New Year's resolution. If you're a power lifter, you start slacking off on your accessories again. You know who you are. But for most people, it's that two-week window where they were going to the gym, trying to do this new fitness thing, and at this point in time, they stopped. So National Quitter's Day is today, just January 14th, and we're going to talk about predatory gyms.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to phrase it.
I was thinking about this a lot because I wanted to, number one, I don't want to use names.
Yeah.
Because they do have massive teams of lawyers that search these things out and try to snuff it out.
Yes.
So we're not going to use names, but it will more than likely be relatively obvious the kinds of gyms we're talking about. But I want to start with this. The gym industry is a horribly difficult industry.
Yes, absolutely.
It is, by business failure rate, the second least successful business in the States.
Not surprising.
Yep. Followed, it's restaurants.
Yep.
And gyms. The failure rate of gyms is extraordinarily high for reasons that I think a lot of us know.
Yeah.
Rent tends to be relatively high because you need a large amount of square footage. Most people that start up a gym, there's a large output of cash or a large loan for equipment, which equipment is not cheap, and especially the things that people want. It's kind of crazy. I mean, in Raise Up here, we've got what? Two squat racks,
yep.
A yoke that could be a squat rack, and a monolift. So yep. Four squat racks.
Yep.
Those four squat racks are, with the weight, the bars, the straps, the safeties, the collars, the clips, the like everything. I would even say the benches that go in them.
Yeah.
Cost less than two treadmills. A good commercial treadmill is going to cost you anywhere between $4,500 and $6,000. So if you go to a gym that's got 12 treadmills, then you need to look at it and say, wow, that's like close to $70,000 in just treadmills. So a lot of these gyms are putting out a note that's, you know, $200K to $500K just to start. So the expense rate is really, really high. And usage, utilization is really, really low. So that'll kind of bring us into it. But I wanted to start with that piece and statistics because I think it's always good to start with the boring stuff and then we can start getting into our opinions. The gym industry is one of the most unique industries in the fact that if you were to take the total number of people that have gym memberships, this is the crazy math. And this math, I looked it up because I wanted to make sure before this episode I wasn't speaking.
Can I give a guess before you say like?
Yeah. So let me frame it first, right? The total number of memberships, like surveyed people who have a gym membership, the percentage of those people that regularly use the gym, which is registered as two or more days a week.
I'm going to say 5%.
It is 5%.
Let's go.
Now here's
that's not good though. I'm happy I guessed it right.
Here's the crazy part too, is that that's a very small percentage. Even though the fitness industry and the gym industry is very big in the U.S., that's still a very small percentage of the total population.
Yes.
It fluctuates, so the total population of the United States not having gym memberships. So it's, I think it fluctuates within like 15 and 20% have a regular gym membership.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 10, 15 to 20% of the total population, only 5% of them regularly use the gym. That's a ridiculous utilization problem.
It's huge.
It's massive. So you were the one that brought the topic up on Facebook. Let's share your thoughts first on gym models in general, what you see and what's leading to what I would say is the lack of utilization, but also the people capitalizing on the lack of utilization. And then what I want to talk about after that, just to set some expectations here, is the failure rate and why I think the failure rate is that high and what can create success in gyms. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to make money if you can sell a product that's never actually used. You can buy all this equipment that's barely used, it lasts longer, and kind of the premise of it, every time you go to one of those gyms that has a lot of equipment, has a lot of amenities, that's kind of how they get you. They've got, you know, 30 treadmills and 30, what are the ones where your feet don't actually
leave? Ellipticals.
Ellipticals, yeah. Bikes and all the stuff. They've got a sauna. They offer classes. They've got, you know, showers and a locker room. And they list off all these amenities, and it's $35 a month. And if you get the family package, it's $65 a month or whatever the cost. And it really, like, gets into your mind, like, wow, I'm getting so much for just this little, like, you know, just a two-person fast food lunch or something, essentially, depending on where you go, what state you're in, if you get two Caniac combos in California. But anyway, you get all this stuff for so little, and, you know, everyone does the 2 weeks. They go hard for 2 weeks, and then, you know, school starts back up for the kids. They got to take them to and from school. They got after-school practice, after-school clubs and activities. Just falls out of habit. Life gets in the way. Work gets in the way. 6 months go by, and they've paid that $35 fee 5 more times after that first month, and they haven't used it since.
Well, and there's this really interesting phenomenon that I've noticed with, and it's not just something I've noticed, it's a pretty common thing,
yeah,
that applies here with, like, clinicians and professionals. Clinicians and professionals will buy a book, never read it.
Yep.
But have a at least some level of belief that they've acquired the knowledge.
Yes.
Like, I bought that book and it's just going to osmose into my brain. No, if you bought a book and you don't read it, you wasted money.
Yeah.
If you get a gym membership and you don't use it, you're wasting money. And that's, like, the thing is it's the allure of all of those pieces, right? But if you don't utilize, you should be paying for result, not amenities.
Yeah.
Like, all these pieces of convenience. And it's really funny because the gym that we were at in Maryland for a long time, a lot of those members had a really cheap membership at one of the big gyms down the street.
Yeah.
Solely for showers, because they would go to this gym, get great results, sweat, have a great workout, like, do their thing. And then they'd go over there and they'd get a shower and then go to work because it was $10.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, well, yeah, there's no showers here, but, like, I'm not going to work out over there.
It's not any extra gas, and you're not driving up a water bill at home, driving back.
And I'm not getting the same result. Yeah. So I'm going to pay, and it was a premium gym. It was $150 to $200 a month just for their small group classes. And people would then drive over, shower, and go to work. Like, it was kind of the thing. But the other thing to me, like, when we talk about those pieces, right? Like, it's not just the price and the amenities, it's the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at gym successes, this is the belief that I have, and it's going to sound extreme, but trust me, I've been in a lot of gyms. Gyms that win belong on one side of this spectrum, not in the middle. If you're in the middle, your gym dies. Okay? You are either absolutely incredible at customer service, or you exploit your clients. And I am intentionally using the word exploit. You know me. I don't use that word often. I don't use that word often, but it's 100% true. You're either incredible at customer service, and Wyatt and I will tell you, we have a firm belief that if somebody walks in the door, they should be greeted within 30 seconds. That they should, there should be a friendly face there. There should be people that are welcoming them into the gym and talking to them and helping them with questions. Like if you walk into a gym and you're wandering around for 5 minutes and the girl or boy behind the front desk doesn't say anything to you, that's a problem. Like you're going to lose eventually. But on the other side of the spectrum, and this is where I think the trap is, right? A lot of these contracts and a lot of these agreements in these gyms are built for you not to use it. One in particular wasn't even designed and created by fitness enthusiasts or people that go to gyms. It was put together and designed by real estate moguls. And their entire marketing scheme and membership scheme is built to get you into a cheap membership that you'll never ever use and be so afraid to come in and cancel it that you'll continue to pay it because it's cheap enough to save you the embarrassment. I'm going to use their marketing taglines, but I'm not going to use who they are. But here's the rub, okay? And here's the big piece for me. If you want results, you do need people around you. The best results you're going to get are with a friendly group of people you can train with and have some fun with. If you want to go Lone Ranger, if you want to go solo, and we hear it all the time,
yeah,
right? Like, oh, I don't want people to look at me at the gym. I don't want to be seen at the gym. You know, I don't want XYZ. I don't want people judging me. I've trained as a lone wolf. I've been the Lone Ranger type.
Yeah.
I think we all have. You get really in your head when you're alone like that. Like, it really can... Who's looking at me? I'm a big, strong guy, okay? I'll still go to gyms. And if it's my first couple times dropping into a new place when I'm traveling or something like that, I am self-conscious. I'm making sure I'm not breaking some of the gym rules and making sure I'm keeping my gym etiquette on point and who's looking at me and like what camera do I walk in front of. I mean, that's
going to be me and a buddy this weekend going down to Raleigh so we can do a little strongman training.
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah, we're going to be in a gym we've both never been at. And it's just going to be like, all right, am I following the rules? Like, is this the right strongman area where I should be doing stones?
Like, but the thing is like, as soon as you get into that, and the thing is, it's really hard to break, yep. Right? Like, some people just want to go to the gym, they want to get their workout, and they want to go. And yep. I understand that piece. But even those people I've seen, when they get around a group of people that are like-minded, man, their results, but their enjoyment goes through the roof. And, like, that's their hour where they've got their people, they've got their social plug-in, but they're also, like, getting great results. It's absolutely necessary. And when somebody puts a tagline in of, like, a judgment-free zone and, you know, people in there, you don't have to talk to anybody, you don't have to interact with anybody, you don't have to do any of these things, you can just run solo. And then the issue is that there's no support if you drop off. And then here's where I call it exploitative and predatory. They tell you all that stuff, right? They tell you it's going to be, you get all these things for free and you get all these things, but there's no accountability. There's no support. There's nothing like that. And then the only way to cancel is to walk your ass in there, walk up to the front desk and manually do it and sign off on a whole bunch of paperwork that essentially, like, you're going to be up at that front desk for 10 minutes canceling.
Yeah.
So they make it. So you feel all these feels, you feel like, oh, it's going to be a judgment-free zone, but then you're lone wolfing in the gym, which is making you look over your shoulder all the time to begin with. And then the only way to get out of it is to put yourself in a high stretch situation where you're going to be at the front desk and everybody knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is leveraging a fear somebody has and feeding it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, because you feel guilty for just, oh, it's this low of price and I'm giving that up. I'm not going to pay $20 a month for this thing that's all on me. Like, and you become very self-conscious and you feel bad because it's you quitting because you couldn't hold yourself accountable.
It's a guilt-shame cycle. Yeah. It's literally built into their membership.
I mean, I didn't work for the one you're referencing, but I worked for another large chain for a short while. And for members to quit, they either had to know exactly when their last day was and come to the gym 3 months in advance to give a 3 month notice in person. And if they didn't do that 3 month notice in advance, they had to send a letter to the corporate office with like their ID number and everything. And then they had to pay a fee to cancel their contract. And I worked there and I was just like, this is awful. Like, and people, and it, my job was basically to like message every member, be like, hey, how's your training going? What you doing? To make them feel like they're getting some sort of accountability. And most of them were just dead replies and nothing. And yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. And that becomes the gap, right?
Yeah.
Because it's really easy. If you have, you know, half the town, I shouldn't say half, it's going to be like 20%, 20%, yeah. That's what on average, right? We got to stick to our actual numbers, yes. And not be a crazy person with the hypotheticals. But like if 20% of the town, so Oxford, where we're at right now, that's 2,000 people.
Yeah.
At $10 a month. That means you're netting $20K, right? Yes, your overhead's going to be high. You're in a big warehouse and you got this big note for equipment. But if nobody's using it, you barely have to clean it. You barely have to staff it. Mm-hmm. You barely have to do any maintenance on the equipment. So why wouldn't you go with that model?
Yeah.
Like why? Like it's you're almost incentivized to be like, well, yeah, I'm gonna run it that way. Mm-hmm. And this is where like I look at it and say, well, first off, that stuff should be regulated out. That's crazy to me that it's actually still okay. But it's the fitness industry, so you know we've got to. And the reason for this podcast is to help people understand so they can stand up against this kind of stuff and make better choices. But also like for me, go and get a result. You know, I'm going to go back to what I had previously said. Really great customer service, a really good coach, and an environment around you. You'll get results in a third of the time. And not only will you get it done in a third of the time, you'll actually get them. Because somebody's there, and not just somebody's there like somebody like Wyatt and I, but a training partner, somebody that goes to the same class time that you do, that as soon as you're not there for a day, they're going to text you and be like, oh, I missed you today. Like, what's going on? Is everything okay? You create a village around that, and then you can build off of it. And then it becomes enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the other piece is if you can make the gym membership cheap and provide all these amenities, but still make it feel like a chore, man, you've got it locked in. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Got them. As opposed to my personal belief, which is the gym, there's a social theory of three places.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, everybody needs three places. You know, home is kind of your default one if you have a home. I don't want to be like, if you're homeless, you don't have that, which I can be sensitive to. But for most people, their first one is defaulted to home.
Yep.
The second one is typically defaulted to work, mm-hmm. your place of business, whether that's you go and work for somebody else or you're like Wyatt and I and just you're self-employed, but tends to be locked in at work. Everybody needs a third. Some people it's church, some people it's a bar.
Yep.
For me, it's a gym, and it always has been a gym. It's always been a gym environment. I figured that out at 15.
Yep. Yeah. Same.
It's what worked for me. So that requires social interaction though. It's not, you're not by yourself. And that's a huge piece of it. Like if you're worried about judgment and stuff like that, get around people who aren't going to judge you. Doing it alone because people are going to judge is like the absolute opposite of exposure therapy and everything that would actually help you get over that piece of it and get better.
Yeah. Or I'd even say like be around people whose judgment you respect. Like if John tells me something when I'm training, I'm going to listen. If he calls me out on some shit, I'm going to listen because he's someone whose judgment I really appreciate.
Well, and part of it too though is we've still created an atmosphere of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like you know my judgment isn't ill-hearted.
No. It's positive. You know, it helps me.
We'll talk some smack, and I know how to motivate you specifically, you know, but we can laugh about it and stuff like that. And, you know, Jolene comes in here and she trains, and it's the same thing. And my wife and people are coming in here and training, and it's the same thing. Everybody's got different buttons, but, like, you have fun with it. and you have that constructive criticism as a part of it to help you get better, with the understanding that that's coming from somebody who really cares about you.
Yeah.
Because that's the root of it. Like, I call these predatory gyms and exploitative gyms because they don't care about you. Like, fundamentally, you're a number.
Like, I would say there can be individuals within that gym that care, like personal 100%. Trainers. But the setup, the skeleton of the gym, the model, it does not care. The model is meant to get a lot of memberships and not utilize. I mean, you see this in the first 2 weeks of every gym at New Year's, where the gym is packed and you see the capacity that it can't handle.
And yeah, they're not actually designed for their actual memberships. That's the other piece. Yeah. They're as big as they are and as much equipment as they have. If all of their members came in at the same time.
If a third of their members came in at the same time.
Absolutely crushed. Absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible.
It would be.
So I thought it was a... This is one of those things where I just don't think a lot of people know about mm-hmm. this sort of stuff. Because it's a lot of bells and whistles and they think... As a lot of people do, like that is what it's supposed to be. And don't get me wrong, like there's a couple of these gyms that I've gone to that are run differently by the management, like the management at the gym,
yeah.
that have been incredible. I will shout out one, just in general because it's been great. Every time I've gone out to Kansas City, there's a Lifetime Fitness out there. That is badass, dude. It is great. Every time I've gone out to Scottsdale, I can't remember the chain. Mountain Fitness?
Yes, Mountain Fitness, yeah.
There's a mountain.
I got a couple guys training there, right?
Yeah, there's a Mountain Fitness out there, which is, you know, a bigger box gym that yeah. it would kind of fall into these sorts of things, like categories.
Yeah.
But dude, they're amazing there. They've been great.
Yeah.
And they have all those amenities and they have all those things, but they also really work hard to bring people together. Which I think is like a big piece with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just be wary. I got chastised last week about telling people buyer beware. Like if you make a decision like this, it's your fault. It's not. The industry has set this up. So this is the spectrum that you have to rely on.
Most are on that. One end of the spectrum that takes advantage.
Yeah, but be armed with this knowledge. Like, do what you will with it. But if I were to implore anyone listening to this podcast, if you're trying to figure out like how to select a gym, where to find a gym, anything like that, like go. It's got to pass the smell test. Do they care? Do they care about you? Do they want to talk to you? Is customer service excellent when you first start, or is it kind of meh? You know, is it cheap because it's cheap? Might not be the way to go.
Yeah. And I'd even say, like, you know, some of the gyms that do grow pretty big, I'll shout out what I consider my lifetime home gym, New Roots Fitness Company back in Flagstaff. That gym has grown a ton. There are so many college students.
Yeah, but their customer service is extraordinary, dude.
That's what I was
going
to say. The customer service, like, you're going to go there and... Even if you're brand new, at some point, Jesse, the owner, is going to find you and meet you. Someone at the front desk is going to know your name. You know, they're going to say hi. People are going to offer to spot you. Like, you will be embedded in the community. It's going to be hard to lone wolf at that gym. Mm-hmm. Because even if you go in with headphones and a hoodie and you're trying to isolate, someone's going to tap your shoulder and ask you for a spot. Yep. And you're going to be forced. And it's actually going to be like, oh. There's other people here, and they're like me, and they're cool, and we all are pursuing similar things, whether it's the class side or the open gym side.
Yep.
And so there are, you know, usually not chains, but bigger gyms that still do a lot of those good community things. And see what they do for community events when, you know, Main Street gets closed down and things like that. Like, how are they getting involved to help their community, partake in school events, things like that? Donate.
And if you're a coach right now, if you're a gym owner yourself, this is the secret sauce that made CrossFit so good. And it's honestly the secret sauce that's making HYROX such a big deal. Like, HYROX is a team event. You can't train alone for HYROX. Yeah. You really can't. Like, people try, But like you it's all team oriented.
Yeah.
Create a community, because it really does create a village, and it requires one. So.
And that village will always help out the gym when things happen too.
Oh, that's the best part about it, man.
I remember when Brentwood Barbell got flooded back in St. Louis, Missouri. You know how many members showed up to help out? And you know when COVID hit and Brentwood donate, like, hey, you can rent gear, you can take a barbell home, and did all this stuff. Like, it goes back and forth.
Yep.
They feed each other.
I understand the convenience of a cheap membership and all the amenities to it. And if you travel a lot and stuff like that, and I also understand keeping a lower tier membership like that, just to be able to get in and get out and know it's somewhere familiar. But understand their practices and understand why we're talking about this. Utilization is a big piece of it. You should use something, and from a business perspective, you should want all of your customers and clientele to use your service and your product. And any business that is built on you buying it and not using it is a fucking liar. Period.
Yep. End of story.